And so if you're one that runs from buzz, I would say don't. Knock it off. Welcome to Book Talk Etc., a podcast bound to grow your TBR. I'm Tina.
And I'm Renee.
And this is a conversational podcast about books and more from two Midwest mood readers who are easily distracted by new releases. And this week, we are leaning into new releases and sharing thoughts on some we've recently read.
If you enjoy listening, we'd love for you to follow us on Apple Podcasts or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And if you have a minute, please consider leaving us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts or sharing us on social media. All of this truly helps other book lovers find us. Hey, Tina.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Fabulous. You know, busy as ever, but loving life. Just cruising through.
Yeah.
I will be happy when March is over. March is just madness. Pun intended. It truly is. It's just everything all at once. And, you know, then it'll be lighter. So that'll be good.
It's a little smoother sailing for you after March.
Yes, yes. Coming into April, and then then it's fine. Then we're good.
Okay.
But then the kids are out of preschool. Well, the kid is out of preschool. And then I'm like, oh my God, you're here every day, all day. God. we'll worry about that when we get there.
I remember thinking that when the boys were young.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like summer was busy. And
you wanna be
yeah.
Here? No, mm-hmm. I'm like, you're going to camp. You want to go to camp? Great. When I say camp, it's literally at her school. It's the same thing. It's nothing different, but it's during the summer. So anyway.
Yes. Well, as far as reading goes for this episode, I am feeling, I don't know, 2024 is bringing me a fresh perspective on new releases. I feel like I struggled last year with new releases. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I'm not quite sure. We can talk about that in book talk. I am having much more fun with new releases this year. And so I feel like my reading this week was very successful. How about you?
Love that. Great. I've had 3 5-star books in a row. 3.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, who do I think I am? Honestly. Dixon Descending started it. And then the one I'm sharing today and then one I'll share in the future. But I'm like cruising through. And that's kind of a bad thing though. Because then you get like picky, and then you pick up something after, and I'm like, I get nervous because then I'm like, oh, now I'm going to slump. But it's okay because I was in a lull when I was trying to find, it's funny, when I was trying to force a 5+ star reading experience, couldn't find one to save my life. I eventually did. But now I was just reading whatever and totally had no expectations. Of course, I hit 3 in a row. But anyway.
That's fun. But does it also make you think, when is this ride going to end? It's
yes,
going to end. And
it's ended,
and you just,
I know.
Don't you hope it ends with a 4-star? I just want to, like, I don't want to go from 3 5-stars or
to a
1 or 2. Well, I don't really, I mean, I usually DNF before a 1-star, but a 2-star, like that would be a bummer.
I know. But I'll keep you all posted, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a loving lately though. So again, March has been super busy. And one thing I've super slacked on when I was like pregnant and then early this year was skincare. Like skincare who? I was just crawling into bed and like passing out. But I've been trying to focus on a little bit of tiny, tiny bit of self-care. So for my loving lately, I'm going back to my skincare roots. And I don't think I've shared this, although I looked in our show notes, couldn't find it. So apologies if you've heard this already, but it's the Paula's Choice Skin Perfecting 2% BHA Liquid Salicylic Acid Exfoliant.
Whoa.
We'll link. Don't worry about writing that down. We will link to it. It is a cult favorite on Amazon. It's a cult favorite in general in the skincare community. It has a 4.5 average rating from 97,000 ratings on Amazon. So I know I'm not like the only one to love this. And my skin's just been not good since the baby. And I had to stop using a lot when I was pregnant. Afterward, everything was irritating me. So I'm slowly reintroducing things back into my routine. I'm very happy I got this again. So what it is, it's an acid exfoliant, which is very liquidy. And I use it once or twice daily. You want to work up to that. You can use it like every other day to start. and it brightens the skin. It makes the skin glowy. It targets fine lines and clogged pores and is supposedly good for all skin types. And it's got salicylic acid in it and green tea. And you can wear it under makeup, which I think is good to know. It's not harsh. It doesn't like freak my skin out or burn at all, but it's a liquid. And I put mine on with a little cotton pad. And here's my second loving lately for today. It's not just any old cotton pad. This is the best one. It's from Shiseido. It's from their facial cotton pads. Also on Amazon. Listen, I have a thing with like little fuzzies. You know when you wipe yourself off with a towel and there's fuzzies? Like that makes me want to crawl out of my skin. So I'm very particular about my cotton rounds. So these are little squares and they do not shed at all. They're very soft. And what I do, they're big enough. I'll cut them in half so I can get, double the use out of them. I'm upset. I love both of these products. And like, look at how glowy I am. You can see. You can see right now.
I can.
I'm glowing. So highly recommend. And they're not super expensive. But, you know, if you want to invest in if you want to start getting into skincare, I think this is a really easy way to do it. It's the Paula's Choice Skin Perfecting Acid Exfoliant and the Shiseido Cotton Pads.
Oh, okay. Good one. I have continued on with my goal for the year to stick with what I have, which is why I haven't had a lot of new products.
Yes.
Because I'm not really buying anything.
Once you find what works for you, like I think. Yeah,
but it makes loving lately hard sometimes. But that's okay. It's forcing me to think outside the outside of the product box.
Yes.
And today I am continuing to think outside the product box. I want to bring a website. Now, it's book related, so don't fast forward.
Don't you dare.
It's book related. This was sent to me and recommended by Kathy, who was a listener who is now a patron. Kathy has a lot of good recommendations, and she sent to me the website bookgirlsguide.com. And specifically, she sent to me a link for their best backlist books of 2014. I will link to that, but just know this website is incredible. You will spend hours checking this website out, looking. This was started by the book girls, Angela and Melissa. They're best friends who jointly read over 200 books a year. And they started this website at the end of 2019. They have a large community of readers around the world. They have weekly email newsletters, and they have a private Facebook group with over 13,000 members. Now, here's what I love about this website. Whatever you might be looking for, I'm sure you could probably find on here, but I want to highlight not only their best backlist books profiles or lists that they do. They also have four different year-long reading challenges. And I am someone who loves the idea of a reading challenge, but I struggle to actually follow it. But these sound really fun. I'm just going to list these. Again, you'll find all of these easily on their website. So they have a In Case You Missed It backlist challenge with lists of the best books of the last 12 years curated. So, oh my gosh, talk about a lot to go through. I have a list that I keep kind of in my notes app of books I've been meaning to read and, you know, like popular books that I still, like Fates and Furies was on there that I'm slowly but surely getting to. Another reading challenge they have is the Decades Reading Challenge. So reading through the decades, then you can click on find lists of books from the 1970s that are set in the 1970s. They have a book voyage, read around the world challenge, and a read around the USA. I just think websites like this for book lovers are so fun. And I want to thank Kathy for sending this my way. I'm still browsing this gigantic website. It's the bookgirlsguide.com.
Yes, I think I saw that come through on like our Facebook maybe or somehow I came across it and I think I'm in their Facebook group and I was like, wow, this is math. This is a big undertaking. So kudos to those two for curating it because, I mean, there's a lot of readers in there.
That's a huge, I know I did send a request to get in their Facebook group, but I haven't been approved yet.
I hope you're approved.
I mean, I don't spend much time on Facebook, but I do like groups like this. I feel like,
yeah.
I mean, what's one more reading group? I love it. So Yeah, good for them. They seem to have quite a following.
That is pretty much my whole Facebook. It is that, and it's book groups and some people I know, but mostly it's book groups or like, yeah. And it makes me laugh because I feel like the same books circulate in those groups. I'm like, oh, they're just finding the housemaid from Rita McFadden, or, you know, like you can just see like they hit, I feel like popular books hit different circles at different times. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Well, speaking of Rita McFadden books, this is my latest read. And this author really was giving me a little bit of the Rita McFadden vibe when I was reading it. Because her books, for me, Rita McFadden, page turners, they're going to be out there sometimes. But like, dang it if you're not sucked in, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe not the most literary book, but like, that's okay sometimes. So my latest read is called Perfect Parents by L.G. Davis. I'm like laughing almost at the synopsis because I'm looking at the cover. It says, I gave them my baby, but can I trust them? Like, that is the type of story we're getting, okay? So okay. Like, sit with me here. Your main character decides to be a surrogate for this couple. And she has her reasons. We don't know them at the very beginning of the story, but we find them. And the Thorpes are unable to have children of their own. They're rich and, you know, they seem like they're going to be the perfect parents. And our main character has had a little bit of trauma in her life. So she decides, you know what, let me accept their offer to move in with them. And they're going to take care of the food, the doctor's appointments, clothing, everything. And they want to be there to support her through her pregnancy. She's like, okay, this seems like it's a good start. She has a crazy ex-boyfriend that's a little bit of a stalker. And you come to find out that, again, she's gone through quite a bit of trauma in her life. And you'll figure that out in the story. But she's just happy to have this opportunity to do something really, really wonderful for this couple. And it helps that they never really questioned her background all that much or really why she's keen to do this, especially without payment. But it seems to work in the beginning. But as it tends to happen, things are not as they seem. And she begins to wonder if something is very wrong with the Thorpes. She tries to ignore how Travis, the dad, lets his hand linger on hers a little too long and how Marcia comes back to check in on her during the middle of the night. Oh, the light's on. Are you okay? Do you need anything? And she tells herself, okay, I can control this. Like, they're just overly excited. It's not a huge deal. And keeping this baby safe is her number one priority. But then a threatening note turns up outside her door and she begins to unravel the Thorpe secret and realizes that she might not make it out alive. Let me just say, this is a 3-star book for me. Not a masterpiece, not one I'd widely recommend. However, I did find a new author. She has a huge backlist. She's an author of color who's writing psychological thrillers, which I'm always interested in finding more of. And so I liked a lot about it. She did give the main character a lot of depth, although I can't remember her name. The synopsis is like from the first person, so I can't remember her name. But that's okay. It's not that important to the story. It was interesting. She's moving in the small town. I can still picture all of the characters. She's like making friends. The thing that stuck out to me and why I kept turning the pages, because I'm like, these people are freaking weird. What are they doing? Get off her back. Like, they were just always like popping over, like checking in on her. And it was like kind of uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen here? It lost me a little bit at about maybe, I think, 80%. It goes into bonkers territory, and I can typically hang with that. I don't mind it. I mean, this was extreme even for me in a slapstick way, but not entertaining. I still finished the book, and I was still curious to see where it goes. Lukewarm recommendation. I would say if you're looking for a quick page turner, this could work. If you're looking for something on Kindle Unlimited, this could work. That's where I borrowed it from. And it is more of an under-the-radar author, which I always appreciate, you know, giving authors that are lesser known a chance. She has a lot of big backlist. It looks like this was called The Surrogate's Gift in other countries, which I think makes sense because that's essentially what she's doing. So check content warnings for this one. Obviously, there's quite a bit of trauma. So just make sure you're cool with some of the things that she'll talk about when you read this. But I'd be curious to see more from this author. This book, though, was Perfect Parents by L.G. Davis.
Okay. Sometimes those like 3 stars are hard to review. And it's hard because I don't know about you, but I fall like there's some things I liked and some things I didn't like. And it's hard sometimes with those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it like goes off the rails. But like also I was like entertained. I could have easily DNF'd, but I was very curious. And like I said, what the author did a good job with is she gave us a fully developed main character and you could find more and more about her. You're like, oh my God, like you're really, I mean, she's gone through everything and it's wacky. But like, if you like popcorn psychological thrillers, this could be a winner for you.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. My latest read is Mrs. Gulliver by Valerie Martin. And this was one of my February books on the radar, which I feel like I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit. I've been trying to do those, you know, I'm trying to get
my Zoom to react. It does it when I don't want it to.
I know, it's not doing it. Okay, so let me tell you briefly what this was about again. You might remember this was the story I mentioned that was inspired a bit by Romeo and Juliet. It is not a Romeo and Juliet retelling, though. I don't believe it was. At least I thought it was when I started, but it's actually not. But I can see that it was inspired by it. So this was set in 1954 on a far-off Verona Island, which was a tropical paradise, but at the time had a very fragile economy and a rising crime rate. So on this island, prostitution is legal, and Lila Gulliver is proud of her business. She runs a high-end brothel where her clients are guaranteed privacy and discretion. And one day, a young girl shows up. She is destitute, she is beautiful, and she is blind, and her name is Carita. She arrives at the brothel seeking employment, and it is basically I have nowhere else to go. I cannot survive. Her sister led her there. So Lila decides to give her a chance, and Carita proves to be a valuable asset to the house, as well as a psychological puzzle to her employer. And then one hot night, a handsome guy named Ian, who is the heir to a wealthy family on the island, visits Lila's house and falls madly in love with Carita. I'm going to leave it there because obviously things happen. I hope I'm leaving you with a lingering question as to not only this particular setup, which what is going to happen when, you know, this guy and this girl and she, this is her job and she does her job quite well. They fall in love, but also Lila doesn't want her to leave. They've created a bit of a friendship. There's actually quite a lot to this story. And when I started, I thought, oh my gosh, this seems simple, but it is not. It's really interesting. Also, the publisher had mentioned in a longer blurb that this was a kind of a dive into females taking control of their destinies in a patriarchal world. And I was like, huh, interesting. And you know what? I think that the author truly highlights this in a really interesting way. I did this on audio. Cassandra Campbell narrates. I really, truly think audio is the way to go with this. At least if you don't want to do the whole thing on audio, try to do a combination. I am not quite sure I would have been as invested in this story without the audio because Cassandra Campbell brings voices to life. And Carita and Lila are the stars of this story, truly. They are women in charge of their own lives, but they also grapple with their life decisions. Present in this story are really morally complex issues. There are explicit scenes and talk about sex, sex work, abortion, and of the time, dialogue in terms of very derogatory words used to describe women. This made me uncomfortable. It really made me uncomfortable throughout quite a bit of the story, which I think it was supposed to make me uncomfortable. It's a story about women having agency over their lives, whether others agree with that agency or not. It's about women standing up to patriarchy, to their families, to society who tells them how they should conduct their lives. It's also about female survival at any cost. And it really, I thought, asks readers to contemplate the very complex questions and issues surrounding the exploitation of women. This book made me think a lot, yet it was a really easy listen. And I love that, like, I could listen to it, I could follow it, and I could think about it while also enjoying the story. As I said, I think audio is the way to go. There are many other girls who work at the brothel as well as men in this story. And I think that Cassandra Campbell brought them to life. The publisher says that this is a surprisingly inventive tale of female subversion and agency in a patriarchal world. And I completely agree with that blurb. So that was Mrs. Gulliver by Valerie Martin.
Good one. All right. All right. Well, for Book Talk today, we wanted to talk a little bit about the state of our new release reading. We thought that might be interesting, seeing that it's our Easily Distracted by New Releases episode. And so we took a look to see where we're at with our new release reading statistics. So far this year, I've read 21 books and 9 were new releases. And you might think, wow, that's pretty good. For me, that's low because that's only 43%. I swear to you, I'm more of a 70% new release girl. But I'm okay with that. I've read some amazing books, kind of like you having the list of books that you've been meaning to read. I have that same list and have been checking some off, which feels so good. So I encourage you, if you don't have a list of books you've been meaning to read, do that.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's like a TBR, but these are more so for me, books I know I'll love, but for one reason or another, I've been like, okay, I'll read it someday. I'll put it off. I'll read it someday. Mm-hmm. And it's been really good. Where are you at with your number?
I feel like, did we flip-flop? What is going on? What's happening?
I know.
Of the 25 books that I've read so far, 13 are new releases, which is 52% of my reading.
Yeah.
Which kind of as a overall year, that pretty much tracks, although I think I was under 50% a little bit last year. But that feels right. I like to be... I'm happy with about half and half.
Yeah.
I think
are about half and half.
Yeah. I think the quality of the new releases I'm picking the right ones for me.
Ooh, that's
I think I'm doing a better job of that.
Yeah. You're not getting easily distracted. You're not like, oh, it's the buzzy book. Let's try it.
No, I don't think I am.
That's good. So I have two favorites. One I'm sharing today, so I'll hold on to that one. Mm-hmm. And the other one I just talked about, it's Dixon Descending by Karen Uten. Had no expectations for it other than, oh, cool, an Everest story. And was blown away. And it's also a debut, which I think is so awesome. So that was that's been my favorite 2024 release this year. And overall, though, I would say I think I would recommend almost all of them. They were all pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I have a tie for my favorites, two favorites. And I'm also talking about one today very soon.
Happier. So
I know. You'll know it when I get to it, obviously. It is, I have a lot to say about it. But it is tied with Leaving by Roxana Robinson as my favorites so far this year. That book, Leaving, I'm still thinking about. I think when I read that in the beginning of February, still thinking about it, still talking about it in outside messages here and there. Yeah. And wow, I don't know. I'm really happy. Also, these are two completely different books, a literary fiction and a thriller, which are kind of my top two moods in 2024. So I guess that tracks, but I'm really happy that I have kind of one from each genre.
That is good. Both of mine are, I would say they're friends, the two books. They would go together. They're not the same in any stretch, but they have similar themes, I think. The one, I feel bad because there's only one that I wouldn't recommend. It was fine, but it's Midnight by Amy McCulloch. It's all right. You know, again, I think I got sucked in for the cover and the setting. It was set in Antarctica and they were there, but the mystery itself was just not that great. So that would be the one that I did not enjoy. Everything else was 4 or 5 stars. So that's pretty good.
Oh, okay. Well, my least favorite so far is Holiday Country by Inge Attrick way back in January.
Yeah.
That also had the really great setting, but it was a summertime setting, which was great for like a January read, but that was a 2.5 rating for me. It just really did not work. A lot of my other new releases, I feel like I have a nice range because I have quite a bit of 3.5 stars. Like, I still recommend a 3.5 star. I like those. I guess, I don't even know, maybe a disappointing new release for me might have been Poor Deer by Clara Shetsky, where disappointing because I, on paper, really, really, really thought that would work better for me than what it ended up working. But still not, you know, like, I think I gave that like a 3.25, 3.5. Still a book that I liked.
Yeah. Look at who's using quarter stars. Do you remember when we first started? You were like, no way, man.
I was, when we first started, I was like, who and why uses, why are you using quarter stars? And now,
nuance.
I can't imagine not using quarter stars. It's so nuanced that now can you, okay, this is a total side tangent, but can you give a definition, not right now, but to yourself, like, of what makes something a 3.25 versus a 3.5? Do you even know, or is it just intuitive?
You know what's funny? I have to confess, I have been using quarter stars my whole life, if you will.
Your whole rating life?
My whole rating life, because it just felt like I needed a way to differentiate. I finally am looking at my book journal and have come to, I still struggle with like half, quarter, whatever. So I've changed the way I do it. And this is breaking news. I know you guys are just riveted. So a one star is absolutely not. Two is meh. Three, it was fine. Four, recommend. Five, highly recommend. For me, that's been working really well, at least in my brain. And I don't know why. But it helps me to, I don't know. I've been enjoying that.
Okay, but so you could say where are the quarters?
I told you, I'm getting rid of them.
Oh, that's the breaking news. You're getting rid of the quarters. I thought you were just setting up and then you were going to go even deeper with the quarters.
No.
Oh, you're getting rid of the quarters.
Well, here's why. I think for me, and this is specific to, I guess, it's different. So this is how I would rate books when I'm talking to you listeners.
Okay.
Because I want you to know, absolutely not, no way, meh, it was fine. I recommend, highly recommend. For listeners, I think that's all they need for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm rating maybe in Storygraph, I might pick a quarter. I might pick a half star, maybe a quarter. Really, I don't do much 3.25. The only time I use quarter really anymore is 4.5, 4.75 maybe. And then
okay.
Yeah.
Well, in my head, I think I can. It's probably going to sound convoluted.
Yeah.
But a one star is I finished it and I hated this book, but for whatever reason, I finished it. A two is I did not like this and do not recommend it, but it was better than I hated it. A three is, it was fine. It was average. I felt it's a middle of the road where there were probably an equal amount of parts I might have liked along with those I didn't like. A four is really liked, could have even loved. It just wasn't a like, wow, five star. And a five star for me is I am probably going to be excitedly talking about this book. I highly recommend it for people, you know, it could be caveats to that, but I stayed up late reading it. I was obsessed with it. Like, a five star for me is really top of the top. A four star, I can still love a four star. I just may have had some issues. Now, and so that's where the quarters, I think, give me a little extra, because I can really love a book, have just one or two issues with something, whether it was the structure or whatever, and then that's probably going to be a 4.25. If it's almost a five star, but there was just like one particular issue that probably only I notice, then it's a 4.5.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
That's how nuanced I can get inside my head. But if I was talking about those on the show, you probably wouldn't know unless, mm-hmm. like, you're going to know today when I talk about my 5-star today because I'm very excited about it. But then, like, my other book today was super enjoyable, liked it a lot. And it's probably a 4-star. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I'm not gonna go into the quarter stars with when I'm talking about it.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. And it's funny because my book one is a book that I really enjoyed. I would not highly recommend it though. I would just recommend it to the right reader because it's Come and Get It by Kylie Reed. And I really liked this dang book, and I've seen a lot of varied reviews for it. Some people liked it, some people hated it. And it's funny because the main critique I've seen of this book is that nothing happens. And it's sure, technically not wrong. It's extremely character-driven, so much so that the synopsis is one paragraph. That's it. It's 2017 at the University of Arkansas. Millie Cousins, a senior resident assistant, wants to graduate, get a job, and buy a house. So when Agatha Paul, a visiting professor and writer, offers Millie an easy yet unusual opportunity, she jumps at the chance. But Millie's starry-eyed hustle becomes jeopardized by odd new friends, vengeful dorm pranks, and illicit intrigue. And that's it. That's literally the plot. It's like a 375-page book. And I really enjoyed it. I did a combination audio and print, and I personally needed the print because there's so many characters. So I was like, who is who? You get introduced to basically everyone on one floor of this dorm. And you find out some will end up playing bigger roles than others, but you get to meet them. I work with college students, and the dialogue and relationships were so relatable to me and really made me laugh. And it was interesting for me personally. Obviously, I mean, I did go to college. I lived in a dorm. I had very close friends. And then now I'm the professor. And it was fun to really sort of view these characters and their dramas from both lenses. And you're coming to know people, getting to know alliances and, you know, just the things that they're involved in throughout about 80% of the book. There's a lot of detail. When I was reading, I'm like, Renee, you're not going to like this because they were like going through everything that was in this lady's refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Renee is going to hate this book. Maybe not hate it, but I was like, I know this is not your style. But at about 80%, a big blow up happens. And what's cool is like, you know, it's coming. And I'm kind of like, oh God, watching it between my fingers because I know something is going to happen. And it was very satisfying when everything came to a head. Cause like, it's one of those climaxes where all the characters are there and everyone's, you know, it's a ton of chaos. And I love how subtle Kylie Reed's writing is. She was really able to bring me into that dorm and understand this tension and small slights between the characters without feeling too heavy-handed. But she said a lot without saying very much. I don't know if that mm-hmm. makes sense. I thought this was a slow build with a good climax, with an ending that ended in a bit of a whimper. I think I could have done with more in the ending. But that was consistent for me, too, with her previous novel, Touch of Fun Age. So I'm like, that seems consistent. I thought this still made for great discussion, and I found it to be a fast-paced reading experience, and I'm certainly looking forward to whatever she writes next. This was Come and Get It by Kylie Reed.
Okay. Yeah, good review, and you're exactly right. I did try it. I did DNF it.
Yeah.
You were 100% right. Yeah. And for me, it was the level of detail and the amount of back-and-forth dialogue with characters, a lot of characters. And it's not necessarily the dialogue. I like dialogue. It was the minute details of what mm-hmm. was on their dorm room shelves mm-hmm. and closets and mm-hmm. floors. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh boy, this isn't for me. But I did really like our hearing what others said in our Discord discussion.
Yeah.
And I can absolutely see why you liked it because, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, you had a different college dorm experience than I did too. Mm-hmm. And you're a professor now. So that makes complete sense. Yeah, you have with the lens like that you had.
Yeah, it made me think, oh my God, like I better never even come close to doing any of the things that these characters do. Put it that way.
Okay. All right. My first new release is The Trail of Hearts by Tracy Garvis Graves. I mean, are you surprised I brought a romance?
A little.
I think it's a contemporary fiction slash romance, but this one was recommended to me by Amy from the blog and Instagram account Novel Gossip. And I mean, Amy knows her romance. So she sent a message and said, this is a complicated love story. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, let me find out about this. And she was exactly right. So this is about 34-year-old Ren Waters, who believes that if you pay attention, the universe will send you exactly what you need. I mean, do I need a better first sentence than that?
No.
no. But her worldview shatters when the universe delivers two life-altering blows she didn't see coming. And all she wants to do is put the whole heartbreaking mess behind her. And so she does go into a bit of a like a depression, and there's things happening in her life. And then she ends up discovering, by way of her best friend, something called geocaching, which I had never heard of.
Oh,
it's an
yeah.
outdoor activity using GPS to look for hidden objects. I was like, oh, this is okay. I love a creative like avenue in a story I've not heard before. And this ends up getting her not only out of bed, but out of her head. And then she decides that she wants to take a week-long solo quest geocaching in Oregon. And she knows exactly how she's going to do that. And that is going to help her take back control of her life. So she heads out there. She's on a trail. And it is on that trail that things happen, and she meets several people, one of them being Marshall Hendricks. And it is her interaction with him that ends up leading her on very interesting paths and just may change her life. And I have completely changed the second half of the publisher's synopsis because I do think I think it gives too much away, and I want to leave you with not knowing much, because truly once the things happen on this path and there, you know, there's a scary situation, things happen, the story just really, really takes off. And there is so much that happens throughout this story. It is a complicated love story. And, you know, I loved so many things about this book. Namely, these people, Ren and Marshall, they are not only nice people, but it was so realistic. I like a love story that veers into, you know, some romance territory for sure. I like it when people are not cheesy, when there's not a communication mishap. I don't like that miscommunication trope. And these people were dealing with really, really serious life issues. So the way the author like portrayed them felt so realistic. I loved the dialogue. I loved the respect that they had for each other. But I also loved the fact that there were real problems and issues that they had to deal with. And the whole thing felt so realistic. And that, for me, that is what I love. I don't think there's any cut and dried answers for a lot of what they were dealing with. And I love to see them wrestle with that. I love the romance. I love the ups and downs. And I truly love the ending. So that's all I'm going to say. I think if you like any of those types of aspects, especially if you are out there looking for something that does not follow like a standard trope, like of, mm-hmm. you know, like an enemies to lovers sort of, if you're kind of like, I've had it with a lot of that, give this a try. It's The Trail of Lost Hearts by Tracy Garvis Graves.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I personally like a story, and I think you and I both like a love story that's not necessarily super trope driven.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some might argue that that does not make a romance book, but that we'll leave that for another discussion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not well versed in romance, so I'm sure there might be tropes in that story. Maybe I didn't pick up on a lot of them. It just felt like a realistic love story to me.
I like that. Okay. Well, my next one's my five-star read.
Okay.
It was James by Percival Everett. And you've seen this already, mm-hmm. I'm sure. The publisher is calling this a reimagining of Huck Finn told from the enslaved Jim's point of view. They also call this brilliant, action-packed, and funny, which I wholeheartedly agree with. When the enslaved Jim overhears that he's about to be sold to a man in New Orleans, separated from his wife and daughter forever, he decides to hide on nearby Jackson Island until he can formulate a plan. Meanwhile, Huck Finn has faked his own death to escape his violent father, who has recently returned to town. And if you've read Huck Finn or you're familiar at all with the story, this begins our dangerous and transcendent journey by raft down the Mississippi River toward the elusive and all too unreliable promise of the free states and beyond. And I have to say, I don't know anything about Huck Finn. I know the very, very, very basics, like very bare bones. And so let this be known. You don't need to know anything about Huck Finn to enjoy this story. I did a quick Wikipedia refresh before I read it. I was considering reading. I was like, what? No, just read the book. Read the book you want to read. Trust me, that was plenty. And, you know, at first I thought, oh, is this going to feel dated in a way that I don't like when I'm reading like classics? Like sometimes they just feel so dated. And no, trust me, this is very, very fresh. And what the author does is takes this entire story from James's point of view, and you get to see him come into his own as a person. And you really, really get, he uses a very smart plot device to bring you into the secret world of the enslaved. And he did it in such a funny and ironic and thoughtful manner that I just was like, oh my gosh, I'm in on the joke. Like, you're so freaking clever. I don't know how to say this other than it's clever, it's funny, it's sharp. And it was such a fast read. I think I read and listened to this book in 24 hours. Like, So I certainly sped through it. It's not very long. I want to say it was like 8 hours on audio. But gosh, I just loved the story. And I was hooked. I was just sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, like I am as invested into this. Like it's as fast paced to me as any thriller. Like I was just so invested in the story and was really obviously rooting for James to get what he needed and what he wanted. I very much hope this book gets read as widely as the original, and I can see this being in my top 10 favorites for the year. This was James by Percival Everett.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. And that's good. That's clever is how I would have described his writing too after Erasure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited. I mean, early buzz is really good for this one. So
yeah, and so if you're one that runs from buzz, I would say don't. Knock it off. Mm-hmm. Give this one a shot. It really is worth it. If you want a comp, it gave me a little bit of elements of The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead.
Oh.
In some ways, although that has a young girl as a main character, but that was sort of the comp that was giving me, but this felt more fast-paced.
Okay, more fast-paced. I have not read The Underground Railroad. Mm. Is there humor in that?
No.
In that story? Oh, okay. Okay.
So maybe a bad comp, but so, like there's the heart and kind of that rooting for and the feelings is what I was getting
okay,
from that
gotcha.
Story. That book I would not categorize as funny though.
I wasn't sure, really. Yeah. I was, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
It's
okay.
More, that one's more literary to me. This is freaking clever. It's just clever. Mm-hmm. I love
okay.
it.
Oh, yeah, you've really got me excited. Okay. All right. My next pick is my 5-star. It's a thriller. I haven't had a 5-star thriller in months. It's Kill for Me, Kill for You by Steve Cavanaugh.
Woohoo!
Oh my gosh, I loved this book. And I also lied earlier when I teased you and said I have a lot to say about my 5-star because I take that, I lied. I don't have a lot. I can't say a lot about this book. I want to, but I'm going to rein it in. Because I can't say a lot about this book. So this is inspired by the Hitchcock book, Strangers on the Train, which I have not read. It is about two ordinary women who make a dangerous pact to take revenge for each other after being pushed to the brink. In this book, you have a couple different things happening at the same time. One dark evening on New York City's Upper West Side, two strangers meet by chance. Over drinks, Amanda and Wendy realize they have much in common, especially loneliness and an intense desire for revenge against the men who destroyed their families. As they talk into the night, they come up with the perfect plan. If you kill for me, I'll kill for you. And then, in another part of the city, you have a character named Ruth, who is home alone when the beautiful brownstone she shares with her husband, Scott, is invaded. She is viciously attacked by a man with piercing blue eyes who disappears into the night. Will she ever be able to feel safe again while the blue-eyed stranger is out there? This is actually really genius by the publishers. This premise, you won't come to understand what this premise actually is until you're far into the book, if that makes sense. So there are a couple different perspectives when the story starts out and as the story goes along. You will have Amanda. You will have Ruth. You will have a detective named Pharaoh who comes in. And let me tell you, this is brilliantly plotted. So what I will say, this is a typical, not typical thriller. I'm going to focus on the fact that I was pulled in immediately. Amanda is the character that pulled me in to start. So we are definitely going to find out what happened in her life. I thought it was genius. Also, Ruth, we're going to get to know her. So between the two of them, I was completely invested. There are things that happen in this story. Like, you do not have to wait for things to happen in this story. And I love that he did that for readers. The pace it's suspenseful. It is so suspenseful. I didn't want to stop reading. I was thinking about this when I wasn't reading. I couldn't wait to pick it up. There's a little bit of mystery. There's a lot of thrills. There is a whole lot of what is going to happen, because I will say, you as a reader, you think you know what's happening. And Steve Kavanaugh is prepared to challenge that. So I'm not even going to say anything else. I think if you like thrillers, if you like crime stories, if you like to be unsure about where a story is going and you like revenge stories, you just have to get this. Just trust me, pick it up. You don't need to know anything else. This is tied with Leaving as my favorite book so far this year. I think it's going to be big. I think it is well deserving of all of the buzz that it's going to get. And I do want to leave you with something. I don't tend to always read the acknowledgments. I might browse them a little and see what authors have to say. But I really, really loved the end of Steve Kavanaugh's acknowledgment. And he said to readers, "If you have read this book, I want to thank you for doing so. I really hope you enjoyed it. Even if you didn't like it all that much, I am enormously pleased that you took the time to read it. And I want you to know that I think about you a lot. I want you to have been entertained while you read and for you to have forgotten whatever troubles you, at least for a while, for that's what reading is all about." I did love it.
I loved it
so much. I love those words. So it's Kill for Me, Kill for You by Steve Kavanaugh.
Okay, I'll read it. Jeez. Ooh. I know. Yes. I'm sorry. Did you say you did audio for that or just print?
No, I did not have the audio for this. Just print. Okay. So that was what we were talking about beforehand. This was my example of I didn't even need the audio. Like,
yes, that's right.
You know what? I was obsessed. Like, I couldn't wait to pick up my Kindle and get this book going.
Love that. Okay. Well, let's do shelf additions. And I have Hot Off the Press book mail for you. This just came through. Ooh. It is House of Glass by Sarah Pekkanen, who is an auto-read author for me. I was very excited when I saw this. This one comes out on August 6th. And 8-year-old Rose Barclay refuses to talk after the shocking death of her nanny in the midst of her parents' acrimonious divorce. Attorney Stella Hudson is determined to help Rose speak and to discover what really happened. As Stella unravels the secrets of the Barclay family, the past and present collide with shocking consequences. Everyone is a suspect in the nanny's murder, even Rose. Is the person Stella is supposed to protect the one she may need protection from? So that's the question we're going to get answered. And maybe we're having a creepy kid situation. Who knows? But this book is called House of Glass by Sarah Pekkanen.
Ooh, okay. That sounds good. All right. My shelf edition is an author that I have read and really enjoyed in the past. And it's All the Colors of the Dark by Chris Whitaker. This comes out June 25th. And it definitely sounds like a great beach read. It is a soaring thriller and an epic love story that spans decades. Several of my buzzwords are in that first sentence. So 1975 is the setting, and it is a time of change in America. The Vietnam War is ending, Muhammad Ali is fighting Joe Frazier, and in the small town of Montclair, Missouri, girls are disappearing. When the daughter of a wealthy family is targeted, the most unlikely hero emerges. Patch, a local boy with one eye who saves the girl and, in doing so, leaves heartache in his wake. Patch and those who love him soon discover that the line between triumph and tragedy has never been finer, and that their search for answers will lead them to truths that could mean losing one another. So, the publisher says this is a missing person story, it is a serial killer thriller, it is a love story, and it is a unique twist on each. If anyone can do it, I think Chris Whitaker can pull something like that off. I loved his first two books, Tall Oaks and All the Wicked Girls. So I'm very excited about All the Colors of the Dark by Chris Whitaker.
Do you like a little love story in your thrillers?
Oh, I'm all for that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, if an author can pull that off, I will take it, especially epic love story that spans decades. I want to know, how is that incorporated into a serial killer thriller? Mm-hmm. I'm very curious about that. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Okay. Especially keyword, if they can do it well.
Yes. Right.
That's it for today. We thank you for spending a part of your day with us. Links to all the books mentioned can be found in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can help us by following wherever you listen and by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us get our show out to new listeners and grows our audience. And don't forget, if you would like access to exclusive bonus content and community, you can join us for $5 a month on patreon.com/booktalketc.
If you'd like to connect with us, email us at booktalketc@gmail.com. You can also find us at booktalketc on Instagram, Tina at tbretc, and me, Renee, at It's Book Talk. Talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember,
everything's better with books. Oh, LG Davis. I put perfect parents, LC Davis. It's like, never heard of it. Sorry, couldn't help you. Nothing.
Yeah, you can't put in any wrong letters.
You literally have to have like the periods too.
Yeah.
I mean, truly. There we go. Here we have it. Picky.